UW Health is a regional distribution point for the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine. We're discussing how UW Health is preparing to receive shipments and to store the vaccine. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The vaccines will go to frontline healthcare providers first. Are you in this group? What do you want to know about availability and distribution? Are you a healthcare practitioner in a rural setting? What questions do you have about vaccine logistics? It's 800-642-1234. Dr. Matthew Anderson is Senior Medical Director of Ambulatory Operations at UW Health, where he's a Clinical Associate Professor at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. Dr. Anderson, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
So Wisconsin will be receiving about 65,000 doses of COVID vaccines in the next couple weeks. Where will this first shipment go?
So the shipment will go from the Department of Health Services will be to the area's distribution centers that they have geographically dispersed across the state. From there, there will be distribution then out according to the allocation from the State Disaster Medical Advisory Committee to other spokes in other areas that may not have the ultra-cold freezers needed to store the Pfizer vaccine.
So how is UW Health preparing for the shipment? What are you doing?
Yeah, so there's a lot of logistical considerations, I think, as have been out there. We are getting set with our practices and protocols for the ultra-cold freezers and making sure that everything's set there from our pharmacy and facilities teams. There's a lot that's going into how we're going to then get that to our employees. So a lot of operational planning. How do we notify employees which group they're in, if they're in phase 1A or not in the first phase? And then how do we go through the just the logistics of training our staff, getting people ready to be able to administer the vaccine so that when we get the go-ahead, we're able to have really efficient processes and move through those quickly.
What about these ultra-cold freezers? They have to be about negative 94 degrees Fahrenheit. What are some of the obstacles there?
Yeah, I think one is just having the freezers themselves, which we do, but can be a barrier, you know, for some organizations, which is why the state is looking to some of these geographic distribution centers. And then I think it's just more, we do continuous temperature monitoring and freezers and for vaccine-related purposes and other medications on a chronic basis. So it's something we're familiar with, but it's not something, you know, at this level with these particular freezers. So it's just logistically making sure that we have all the right processes in place for those. And then the challenge with some of the doses is these are multi-dose vials, and they can only be good outside of those freezer temperature locations for a certain period of time of days. So we have to just make sure that we're managing the distribution and the administration in such a way that we don't waste any vaccine. So a lot of good work has gone into that, and we feel confident that we're prepared.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, how long can this vaccine go outside? Once you pull it out of the freezer, how much time do you have in order to make sure it doesn't go bad between the time that you pull it out and put it in someone's arm?
Yeah, so with refrigeration, you've got about 5 days. There are some more extended practices you could take, but we won't be needing to from a dry ice standpoint. But you're about 5 days at that point. And then once you've compounded and done everything you need to do to get it in there and open that vial dose, you've got about 6 hours.
6 hours. Okay. And so how is UW Health then going to structure who gets this vaccine and when, especially in the first round here in the Pfizer vaccines?
Yeah, so I think the first thing is that the CDC and DHS and the State Disaster Medical Advisory Committee are the ones who set, you know, who's in the phase 1A population. So that's where the frontline healthcare workers with direct contact with patients or exposure to infectious materials, and then you have long-term care residents included within that as well. When we get that, then we have been sorting through who had within our workforce one fits into the phase 1A population, so designating who are those people. And the second thing is then who has the, for us, how we're approaching it is who has the highest risk of exposure in their work, and then how do we identify those individuals and then work through just the operational planning to make sure that we're offering the vaccine people in an equitable way.
Okay, and then so in terms of equity, then UW Health is one, of course, one health system. But what about the other hospitals in that are in your distribution area? How does that work?
So really, we are a storage facility, so we have the freezer requirements, and then we collaborate and coordinate with DHS, who then tells us actually how many of the doses are for UW Health, and then how many doses are designated for other locations. DHS then would coordinate getting the vaccine to those other locations who are in phase 1A vaccinators from that standpoint. So we really defer to the state on that part.
Okay, and so basically as a distribution hub, the state's telling you to say, okay, have this many vaccines in, ready to go, and we'll pick them up from you and take them where they need to go?
Right, they're doing the transportation logistics, and really, again, we're giving them access to the freezer and supporting them and getting that, and then they take it from there, correct.
Talking with Dr. Matt Anderson, Senior Medical Director of Ambulatory Operations at UW Health, he's explaining how the COVID vaccines will be handled once they reach Wisconsin next week. Your questions as well at 800-642-1234. Dr. Anderson, walk us through the timelines as to when these vaccines will come in your door.
Yeah, so a couple of steps in there, and there certainly, as you can appreciate, I think there's some fluidity to this whole thing right now. So tomorrow, the FDA is meeting, and we are hopeful that the emergency use authorization will come forward tomorrow, Friday, somewhere in that time frame. We're hearing that we can expect our first shipment of vaccine likely early in the week next week, and so we're prepared for that and just waiting for some more specifics as DHS and others are able to give them to us.
Okay. And so besides the Pfizer vaccine, Moderna has a vaccine. Can you explain the steps around Moderna's vaccine?
Yeah, so the distribution of Moderna is a little bit different because it does not have the ultra-cold freezer storage requirements. And so with that, I believe if and when that is approved and they have an EUA for that, that'll be more of a direct shipment from the manufacturer to the vaccinator location. So there won't need to be a central distribution plan with spokes, but it'll be identifying those people who have signed up to be phase 1A vaccinators. And then there'll be an allocation process through the state. And then so we as UW Health will then receive our allocation only, as opposed to with Pfizer, where we're receiving ours plus others.
Gotcha. Okay, so between the Pfizer vaccine and the Moderna vaccine, how many doses are we looking at here?
Yeah, I think that's still a little bit uncertain. I mean, I think we've heard about the state level. We've heard for us likely in the several thousand dosing coming soon. But we really haven't heard much on the specifics of the Moderna vaccine yet. So I think we're still waiting for that and hopeful, just like everybody else is, to get some greater clarity and get moving on this.
What is the difference between the Pfizer vaccine and the Moderna vaccine?
So the biggest difference is a couple, actually. And so one is just that Moderna does not have to be stored, as I mentioned, at the same degree of lower temperatures that the Pfizer vaccine does. The other difference is really that they is the interval between the first and second dose, which is 21 days for Pfizer and 28 days for Moderna. So that creates some small logistical challenges for us, but it's manageable. Otherwise, they both are mRNA vaccines, and I'll defer the vaccine science to other folks around all the specifics of that, but they really are similar in that fashion of how they accomplish the task of providing immunity.
So when you, as UW Health, looks to distribute among your employees, are you going to do these vaccines in a central place, or are you going to try to distribute them throughout the department so employees don't have to go to a central location?
Yeah, so especially first, we're going to have more central distribution just because of some of the challenges is with the ultra-cold storage with the Pfizer vaccine, and just making sure that we can do that safely and as conveniently as possible for us. And then we'll likely have two locations early on, and then as we get into understanding what the operations are, how much volume and quantity we're going to have, we may expand that out in the future, but we don't have immediate plans on that right now.
Are there any plans for how you may monitor at all your employees' health after taking the vaccine?
Yeah, so monitoring for side effects is absolutely something that we do on a regular basis and have practices and processes in place. So we'll be working with our employee health team to make sure that employees have the ability and that we are expecting, especially under the EUA, that it's going to be important that they're reporting what those side effects are. So we have internal processes we've worked through and that are somewhat commonplace for us, and we're going to just need to monitor those as things go along and react accordingly.
Yeah, and so when you have those internal monitoring for vaccines, are you talking about like electronic computer systems? Like, how do you monitor?
Yeah, so we have a patient safety net system that people can go in and enter something and it gets through. We also have other means of also telephonically or otherwise contacting our employee health team. And so obviously the electronic options are a little bit more streamlined for our staff. And that's something we're going to be monitoring just to make sure that we understand what the volume is and how we make it, again, convenient for people to report side effects they may or may not have.
Rural areas are likely, I would have supposed to receive the Moderna vaccine since it doesn't need to be kept extremely cold, can be shipped directly. Is the plan to mostly send then that vaccine to more remote places in the state?
Yeah, it's a good comment. It's, you know, makes some sense in theory. I would defer to the state about the allocation and dispensation planning at this point. I've not heard anything definitive on that, although to your point, there's some theoretical conceptual sense to that.
We're talking with internist Matt Anderson with UW Health. He's explaining its partnership with the state to distribute the Pfizer vaccine to health systems and long-term care facilities in the region in the weeks and months to come. What do you want to know about how the COVID-19 vaccine works and when you might be able to get it? Are you a frontline healthcare worker in a rural part of Wisconsin? What are your thoughts about vaccine distribution and rollout? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a minute with Dr. Anderson here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation with Dr. Matt Anderson of UW Health. He's Senior Medical Director, Ambulatory Operations, and he's explaining how UW Health will be a central storage facility for the Pfizer vaccine, which has to be stored at a very cold temperature to remain stable. Wisconsin, by the by, has more than 450,000 healthcare workers. The vaccines will go to frontline healthcare workers first. Let's take a call on this now. Taylor is joining us from Stone Lake. Hi, Taylor.
Hi. I was just wanting to ask, because being that I'm in a rural area, I'm an 80-year-old grandparent, I kind of project that they would get the vaccine.
Okay. Taylor is in a rural area and has grandparents who are 80 years old. When might they get the vaccine, Dr. Anderson?
Yeah, so still thinking about, and people are still working through what the next phases are going to be, but, you know, based on their age, we would anticipate that they would likely be in the phase 1B population. That's really going to be dependent upon how many vaccines we receive, but estimates would be that maybe sometime in the spring that we'd be able to move into that phase. So rough estimate at this point.
The spring. Okay, let's bring in Amy now in Portage. Hi, Amy. I understand your daughter is a COVID ICU nurse.
She is. And my main concern is this. I know that she'll be one of the first recipients or eventually one of the first recipients of the vaccine. What happens if, God forbid, there is something wrong with the vaccine and we have large numbers of our healthcare workers that are affected or negatively affected by the vaccine? How will that affect our public health care then when our health care workers are out?
Dr. Anderson.
Yeah, thanks for the question. I think that that's obviously a very appropriate concern that we're all thinking about. How do we make sure we're maintaining operations and able to provide care for the people who need it through this time? You know, it's something that we're working through as far as, do you need to stagger schedules? How many people, you know, what are the adverse effects going to be? And the FDA just published some information, a little bit more detail about that yesterday. So each health system will be looking through that to identify what's the cadence that we need to vaccinate people with. How do we best operationalize that and make sure that we're not negatively impacting operations at the same time? So each health system may have, and each specialty may have a little bit different situation. So really we are going to be working through that just as other health systems are as well. And so just know that we're all very committed to making sure that, one, we vaccinate people appropriately and quickly within the right phase, and two, that we do so in a way that doesn't compromise operations. So it's a challenge, but it's something that the health systems have experience in handling and will be ready to do when the time comes.
And Dr. Anderson, these are pressing questions, like how long is someone immune once they get the vaccine, and will people who are vaccinated, are they still contagious? What is known about these types of questions?
Yeah, so those are great questions, and I think that everybody wants certainty right now. We crave certainty, and I think the answer there is really going to be that we have preliminary information about near-term immunity, and that gives us hope for what it may mean, but we're going to need to continue to study these vaccines and understand, you know, are there subsequent doses that are going to be necessary, all of those sorts of things, which is one of the reasons that the FDA is putting that through as an emergency use authorization and saying, you know, we need to continue to learn more. But at the same time, the benefits outweigh the risks, and there's been good safety data here over the subsequent couple of months, so we have a reasonable handle on it, but we need to continue to learn more, and we want that certainty as much as everybody else does, and we'll definitely be sharing information as we have it as we go along.
So PPE, personal protective equipment, after healthcare workers are vaccinated, after, the Amy's daughter COVID ICU nurse is vaccinated, will the same PPE requirements stay in place at UW Health? Are your frontline workers going to continue to use the same type of equipment as precaution, even though they're vaccinated?
Absolutely. We are continuing to message the importance and need to have our PPE in place to protect ourselves, to protect our patients as we continue to learn more and, you know, continue to reinforce the need for physical distancing, mask wearing, hand hygiene, all of those things. So just because we're getting vaccinated doesn't mean that we're flipping the switch back to life as normal. We're going to need to continue to take those precautions in the ways that we have and then work our way towards a future state where we're able to get back closer to a pre-COVID normalcy.
Okay, so what I'm hearing from you, just because you get the COVID vaccine or series of vaccines doesn't mean that you stop wearing a mask.
That's correct. Absolutely. Absolutely. Appreciate the reinforcement on that.
We're talking with Dr. Matt Anderson, heading up logistics for the Pfizer COVID vaccines that will arrive in at UW Health next week, or anticipated to arrive next week. The emergency use authorization will be taken up tomorrow. And Dr. Anderson is a medical director at UW Health, fielding your questions about vaccines and about what the protocol should be in the logistics of handling the forthcoming vaccine. The number is 800-642-1234. So, Dr. Anderson, how can people figure out when they might be eligible to receive a vaccine?
Yeah, I think at this point, that's part of that certainty that we all crave. We would suggest that the broader availability of the general public is going to be more in the months, so probably in the spring to early summer timeframe. And it depends on the number of vaccines that end up receiving emergency use authorization, the amount of supply that we're able to receive from each of those vaccines, and then how quickly we can move through vaccinating those in the initial phases. And so I think that when we talk about months, it's really predicated and dependent on those variables in place, and they could change. And I think people just stay tuned, but really we're talking more about probably into the spring, early summer timeframe for broader availability.
I want to talk a little bit here about procurement and about making room in your freezers for these thousands of vaccines. What happens to the medicines that are already in these extremely cold freezers? And do you have enough space to make room for what is coming?
Yeah, I can speak for us. We absolutely do. We have the ability with our freezers to take up to 300,000 doses for the ultra-cold storage. There aren't a lot of we purchase net new freezers, so we're not displacing or dislodging anything from there. So there aren't, a number of medications or other things that we would typically use these for in a large volume. So we're in good shape from that standpoint.
Let's go to Ian now from Milwaukee. Hi, Ian. And you are a truck driver.
Yes, I'm a truck driver in Wisconsin, and I'm just wondering logistically, how are you going to use the trucking industry to move these, you know, vaccines, you know, in bulk from one area to another, considering there is a very large shortage of truck drivers, you know, within the state, and also the storage facilities at minus 70, and the vehicles can only go down to minus 30 with their refrigerated units.
Great question. Yeah, Dr. Anderson.
Yeah, thanks, Ian, for the question. So from the ultra-cold transportation distribution piece, Pfizer is really heading that up. So that doesn't require a lot from the health systems from that standpoint. I know they've put a lot of effort and time into the logistics of how do they get things from here to there. So I don't know all of the details about that, just more at a high level conceptual. From a UW Health standpoint, again, as I think I mentioned earlier, we have the ability to take those out of the freezers, you know, keep them at refrigerated temperatures that don't require the same restrictions as we're moving them between our locations. But again, one of the reasons why early on we're looking at a limited number of locations to make sure that we just keep the logistics as simple as possible and keep things efficient.
Not many seconds left here, but what is your toughest challenge? What are you grappling with?
Yeah, I think that, you know, throughout the pandemic, you will hear that health systems have struggled with space, staff, and stuff. So space is not as much of an issue. I mean, one of the challenges for us is just how do we ensure that we have the number of staff that we need to vaccinate, you know, in a quickly, timely fashion. So that's certainly one. It's one that we are addressing and have plans for, so we feel good about it, but it's definitely a challenge. The uncertainty is a challenge for people who are wanting to know more information, and we're in that boat as well. So trying to plan for something when there's a lot of fluidity is definitely a challenge also. And then I think it's just, you know, we haven't done this in this way before, and you're doing it in the middle of a pandemic. So there are just a lot of logistical challenges. But again, we have a great team. We're confident. We're ready and preparing, and we'll just have to be flexible and adaptable as we go along. So we're excited to get started.
Dr. Anderson, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me so much. Appreciate it.
Dr. Matt Anderson is Senior Medical Director of Ambulatory Operations at UW Health. Just ahead, we look at how small independent businesses are staying afloat. We check back in with local business developers in Madison and Milwaukee. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.